Praise the Lord. No, we're singing about, God, I give myself away so that you can use me. And, you know, God wants to work through us and got jobs for all of us to accomplish in his kingdom. Not to get accepted by him, we're already accepted by him, but to continue and to take the message of God's love around the world. But tonight, I want to talk about something that will just absolutely shut off the power of God in this church and in our individual lives, and that is, I want to talk to you tonight about avoiding strife. So turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Hallelujah! It's talking about strife tonight, and glory to God. Amen. You know, if you won't praise him, I will. But we're going to look at some things concerning this subject tonight, and it's an important thing because it's something that we must at all costs stay out of. Now here in 2 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 24 to start with. Now I'm going to read from I've got a King James Bible in front of me, but I do tend to take out the these, the thous, and the King Jamesness of it. But I am reading from a King James Bible here. And the servant of the Lord must not strive. That's pretty plain, isn't it? The servant of the Lord must not strive. Well, see there, pastors. You pastors know every one of us are the servant of the Lord. Tell your neighbor, you are the servant of the Lord. Now he said, you know, there's certain things in the Word of God we look at, and you know, without faith, Hebrews 11:6, it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must. We make a big deal about must. Well, the things you must. Here he says, you must not strive. Get into strife. But be gentle unto all, able to teach, patient, in meekness. Now he's going to talk about humility, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Servant of the Lord, child of God, loved by God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, devil casting out, laying hands on the sick, preaching, praying, and prophesying in the hands of the devil because you got in strife. You see, taken captive at his will. It's just like you want to deliver yourself over into the hands of the devil, get into strife. Now we're going to see, he says there, in meekness. He said you lose it. Humility is a key to staying out. We're going to see that it's the flesh and it's pride that gets us into strife. Now the thing about pride is God hates pride. Let's just say that right now. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13 says that God hates pride and arrogancy. He hates it because why? Because pride is opposite of God. We'll look at that here in just a moment. Turn over to James chapter 3. The servant of the Lord, say that means me, must not strive, he said. Must not. Now, if he tells us that, you know this. If the New Testament tells us something, then we know this, the grace of God is available to walk in it. How are you going to stay out of strife? By the grace of God. Now, how's the grace of God going to action in our life? By us acting on the word. The moment you say, all right, I'm not going to get in strife, okay, then you realize this, the devil's going to try to bring it your way. Now, you know, isn't it amazing what we get in strife over? Now, you say, well, how do I know if I'm in strife? Listen, if you are offendable, does that make sense? I like to say it this way. I've just decided, to the best of my ability, I'm going to be non-offendable. You can't offend me. No matter what you do, I'm not going to take offense to it. Because I'm not going to get in strife with you. I can't afford to live a powerless life. Amen. The best of my ability, I try to do that, and God help me. You know, there's times that I fall short of that, but ye without that sin can cast the first stone, and I don't see any rocks, so here we go. Okay. But here in James chapter 3, let's begin here in verse 13. Who is wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation, means way of living, out of a good way of life, his works, with meekness of wisdom. There, that word meekness, again, speaks to humility. Now, listen, folks, in the New Testament, meekness does not mean weakness. Amen. Meekness is powerful. It's like this. You take a, you find a wild stallion, a wild horse, out, you know, horses that would roam wild in the West. You find a wild horse and you train it to be ridden. That horse is still powerful, but it has become meek, at least to the person who trained it. Now, you might try to get on it if he doesn't know you. I remember my sister decided she wanted a horse. And so my parents, you know, were able to do that. And so they went, but the problem was, let's just say, don't ever buy an ex-rodeo horse, okay? I'll just tell you that right now. Especially a barrel racing horse. The female horse's name, the horse's name was Maybe. And that's because maybe you'll be able to ride her, maybe you won't. I think that's why they called her that. Because I'm telling you what, if she didn't want you on her, she would find a fence, she would find a low-hanging branch, she'd run you into it. Plus, she was a barrel racer, she could run and stop on a dime. So we spent more time off the horse than we did on the horse. We were not ready for that horse, okay? All right. But some, you know, the horse had gotten prideful, I guess. But anyway, verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Notice where strife comes from. It's not of God. It's devilish. It's like yielding. You know, we need to learn who to yield to. Now he goes on to say, but where envy and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. You know, I'm convinced some Christians, they don't understand why things are going wrong in their life, and it's because of strife in their life. Come on now. I know, you know, and strife, you know, I found this out. It's impossible to argue with someone who won't argue back. Takes all the fun out of it, you know. You try to be in strife and they won't be in strife with you. It just takes all the fun out of strife, whatever fun there is. There's no real fun in it, but you know, see, for a while, you know, well, I'm right and you're wrong. We're going to find out that has nothing to do with the whole situation. Okay, keep reading here. But he says, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now, how many folks in here, you know you are the righteousness of God in Christ, the Word of God. Amen? Notice what one of the fruit is. Peace. Peace. I'm right with God, therefore I can live in peace with all people. Now, let's go back. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5. He said this wisdom, James said this wisdom is sensual. It's natural. And it's also devilish. We've yielded ourselves to the devil. And he said with it, with envy and strife, is every evil work. Here in Galatians chapter 5, look at verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are these. Are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred. Now, if we stopped right there, but oh yeah, those things are evil. That's horrible. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife. Well, now he lists adultery there because that's the worst sin. This is not a list of ranking. Strife is just as much a work of the flesh as adultery is. I heard Brother Hagin say this years ago, and I see it, that God is probably going to deal with us and judge us more over these things that you can kind of hide than he is over these other things sometimes. He said strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings of such like, of which I tell you before, as I've also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's things, I guarantee you, there's Christians right now that are not walking in the fullness of their redemption because of strife. Yep. Yep, Because when you open yourself up, when you get in strife with somebody, you get into it with somebody. You're arguing with somebody and you won't let it go and you're taking offense. You're in strife. Now don't sit there and act like you've never been in strife, because if you've come in contact with one other person in your life, you've had opportunity to be in strife. How many married folks we got in the house tonight? You've been in strife. Because you know, you've got opportunity. You're around that person all the time. And the devil wants to make you powerless. If he can get you in strife, he's got you, see. And open yourself up. Now, that doesn't mean if bad things are happening because you've done something. The devil's after any way he can get at you. But this is one way we can protect. So we see here it's a work of the flesh. Now I want to go back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13. Look at a few things that the book of Proverbs says. You know, Proverbs is probably the book in the Bible that just gets into your business. I really like reading it out of the Old Living paraphrase, Living Bible, the Taylor paraphrase, because it's just real plain. But I want to look at some of these things here concerning what he says. Another word for strife in the King James would be contention. Same thing, means exact same thing. So look here at Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride comes contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Notice, what is he signaling? What is the cause in our lives of strife? Pride. Pride. Well, you disagreed with me. Or you know, whatever it is. You made me look bad, whatever it is. It's all, pride is about protecting self. Now let me say this about pride. Pride always believes the lie about itself. Pride is based on the lie. Humility is based on the truth about yourself. Now see, it's not prideful to say I am the righteousness of God in Christ, because that's based on the truth of God's word. But it would be prideful to say I'm righteous. Based on what? Well, I just do good things. You see, that's prideful. That's prideful. Pride's hated by God, because we keep reading in James chapter 4, for God resists the proud. And the areas of pride in my life, I put God in a place of resistance towards me. I can't have God in resistance towards me. I need God's favor in my life. Now you see it all the time. Now you know I'm an advocate of, because you learn so much from it if you're able. But to be involved in team activities, because you learn so much, and pride will destroy a team because it leads to strife. You can't. It's going to cause strife. Pride. Now see, humility believes the truth about itself and accepts the truth about itself. Pride believes the lie and acts on it. Now, you got some situations in teams, and if you've ever been involved with a team of any sort, you understand how this works. There's always seems like on a team, there's those guys that think they're better than they are. They're believing the lie. And no matter how far up you go on a team, okay, on teams, it works, not just athletics, I'm talking about in every area. But humility knows who it is, what it is, and finds itself in the Word of God. But pride is going to cause these contentions. Now look at Proverbs 28. Now you can already see the victory over strife is going to be through our humility, to humble ourselves. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Anytime I'm trying to promote myself. Now that doesn't mean you don't let other people know, you know. That'd be kind of, you understand, you can go in a ditch on any of these things. Well now, did you apply for that job? No, I wouldn't want to act like I was promoting myself. Thou shalt not get the job. You understand what I mean by that? You're going to tell somebody. That's not what we're talking about here. But look at chapter 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirs up strife. I mean, pride just can't help it. You're going to stir it up. Stir it, stir it, stir it, stir it, stir it all the time. Now, how many of you have had a teammate like that on any kind of team? Doesn't matter. They're always stirring up something. Always stirring up something. Drama follows them everywhere. But notice what he says to go on. But he that puts his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Someone's been trusting a lot more than us. No, he's not talking. He's talking about shall be blessed. You skinny folks living in all that strife. No, that's not what he's saying there. But notice that the opposite of pride is trusting in the Lord. Here. Now I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I was doing a study on the subject of pride and humility and looking at things. And God, you know, God will help you get the pride out of your life. And thank God, he's so merciful. He just doesn't come and show you every area of your life that needs to be changed in one instant. Because if he did that, I think you'd just fall over dead right there. You know, just be, take me, Lord, right? Because you could, it'd be overwhelming. So he deals with this one area, okay? And then he'll show you something else, and then something else, and let you deal with it, okay? And in him, and show you ways out of it. But in reading this, you know, I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible, but I'm going to, instead of the word love and the way it reads, the Lord showed me this. He said, you know, pride acts the opposite of love. Because love is out to benefit others at the expense of itself. Pride is about benefiting me at the expense of you. So when you catch yourself not in love, I guarantee you, you're in pride. Now let me read this here, starting in verse 4, and I'll do my best to change it up for you. Pride does not endure long, it is not patient, and it is not kind. Pride is envious. Pride boils over with jealousy. Pride is boastful and vainglorious and displays itself haughtily. Pride is conceited, arrogant, and puffed up or inflated. One of the definitions of pride from the Old Testament word means to blow smoke. You've been around those folks, haven't you? Always blowing smoke. Why? They don't want to see how they really are. But you know, when you know God loves you, you're open. You don't have to try to protect yourself. Let him do it for you. All right, let's keep reading here. Pride is rude and acts unbecomingly. Pride insists on its own rights and its own way, for it is self-seeking. Pride is touchy and fretful and resentful. Any of you ever get touchy? Pride. Pride takes account of every evil done to it, pays attention to every suffered wrong. Pride rejoices at injustice and unrighteousness, does not rejoice at right and truth. Pride cannot bear up under anything and in everything that comes. It doesn't believe the best of every person. Its hopes fade under all circumstances. It endures nothing because it gets weak. Pride never, never wins. It fades out, it becomes obsolete, and it will come to an end. Now see, it's the opposite of that, and it's pride that gets us into strife. Now go back to Proverbs 26. Now, how does this usually manifest? Well, through words. Look what Proverbs chapter 26 has to say. You know, in any situation, you cannot have strife. Okay, in the office of the college here, we have five secretaries, myself and Kirk Dubois, who's our project manager and also teaches in the school and handles a lot of things for me. In the office there, we cannot afford to have any strife in that office. All right, we deal with enough stuff already. You can't have strife among us. And if we have strife, if you're going to cause strife and you won't refuse to, you're going to go. You can't cause strife. We can't have it. You know, that's what the devil did in heaven. That's what Lucifer did in heaven. He caused strife. And God said, you're gone. There was no, and really with God, there wasn't a second chance. He just said, right. And the third of the angels that wanted to get on the strife, they left too. There's no strife in heaven. All right? Not any of it. Now here in Proverbs chapter 26, look at verse 20 and 21. Where no wood is, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, or my Bible has a note next to that. Look down here, it says, whisperer, the strife ceases. Now you see it happen. You see people get there, they start whispering. Okay? We don't whisper in my office. If you got, unless it's something I need to tell somebody, we don't whisper. If it's something that means you said, I want to hear it. Let's bring it out in the open. Because you whispering will destroy unity. And will leave you powerless. Verse 21. As coals are to burning coals and wood to fire, so is the contentious man to kindle strife. The words of a talebearer are his wounds. He goes and keeps talking about that. Gossip, all right? Gossip. Other translations say gossip. Gossip stirs up strife. You know, what you know about somebody is nobody else's business. You're just going to cause strife. Now, you know, you got to realize too, and you know, we have a lot of folks in here, obviously, but you know, we're the Rhema Bible Church, first of all, but we got a lot of folks in here that are, you know, that come from the student body and that type of thing. And so let me say this, you'll destroy someone by feeding them information that they are not in a position to handle. Now you can ask Amanda, there's times that we're in staff meeting and Pastor Hagin will say, now we're not, this doesn't go out of this room. I don't even tell her. And they'll ask her about it later. She'll, no, he didn't say anything about it. Why? They said don't say anything. So I don't even tell her about it. If they want to tell her, that's their business. Now I do that for two reasons, to protect me and to protect her and to protect them. I guess that's three protectors, so the three reasons, but. But you can't go around. See, gossip stirs up strife. Because people don't understand things sometimes. And when they don't understand it, your pride rises up. I know I was at a minister's conference one time. And not too long after that, I was at a meeting that a minister was holding at a church that was close to us. So I went there and I was sitting next to this guy and we were talking about it. He was all friendly with me. And what do you do? I told him I was an associate pastor at a church not too far from there, you know. And he said, well, I said, yeah, we just had a, you know, I had just been at a meeting that these gentlemen had and these that were speaking. This person was one of the speakers at this minister's conference. When I said at this minister's conference, he went ballistic. Went ballistic. I mean, it got so much to the place, I ended up getting up and moving seats because he was so mad. Well, there ought not to be anything that can be said to a minister that can't be said to everybody in the body of Christ. I was like, okay. I said, are you in the ministry? No. I wanted to say, it's evident why. But he was just mad. His pride rose up, you know, because he didn't get to go to the meeting, bless God. Well, see, pride gets off in a lot of different areas. Now, how do we deal with it? What if we get in strife? Go to Matthew chapter 18. We don't have a lot of time here. Hallelujah. Because I don't want you getting strife with me if I go past an hour of power. But I want to leave you with this. Now, part of the reason people get in strife in the pride area is because you feel wounded by what happened. Now, let me say, remember this. Jesus is anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Take it to him. Let him heal your broken heart. But stay out of strife. Okay? Don't stay in strife. Now, Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, "Moreover, if your brother shall trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. And if he hears you, you've gained your brother." Now, notice that last phrase, "you have gained your brother." The whole purpose of going to your brother, if they've done something that's against you and you go to them, the whole purpose is not to prove that they're wrong and you're right. The whole purpose is to get rid of the strife and gain them. This is a win-win situation. All right. Now, you know, after this, he says, if they won't hear you, then take two or three with you. Go to them. And again, to do what? To reconcile. To win. If they won't hear that, then it says, take it to the church. Now, you know, you find out people's pride real quick. Well, let's just go talk to the pastor about it. Whoa. Amen. But it's about winning. See, it's about staying out of strife. I think we've already seen strife will make us powerless. Now, how do you know, you know, you're in situations where you're in pride in a local church? Well, pastor gets up and announces that, you know, and God's already told you, this is your church. I want you to be part of Rhema Bible Church. Okay, God. So that means no matter what happens to you at Rhema Bible Church, you're going to be there. You're going to be faithful. You're going to be a supporter of it with your attendance, with your participation, with your ministry gifts, helping others, and with your finances. That's what God told you to be a part of it. All right? And so pastor gets announced, says, we're going to build a new building. Well, what do we need a new building for? We don't need a new building for. Why? Your pride just showed. You just showed right because you don't understand why. And so you talk against it. And now, the rest of us may not have heard you, but you're in strife against those of us who are just doing our part. You're striving against us and we don't know it and it's not affecting us, but you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker and weaker all the time. You don't know why. Amen. And I've seen churches, now I'm not talking about Raymond, but I've seen other churches been involved. When I worked in the Alumni Association and worked with the Ministerial Association, call in and churches, you get pastoral staffs, they get in strife. The pastor, you know, his associate pastor is the wicked son Absalom sitting at the gate drawing away the people. The associate pastor calls you and the pastor is wicked King Saul. Who's lost the anointing? They said, well, we talk about the same people. I just talked to wicked King Saul. I thought he was David. You said he's Saul. You know, it goes back and forth, you know. Strife. And what happens is they become powerless in ministry. And if it goes on long enough, I've seen churches shut down, they're split up, shut down, and they're not even in ministry. That church is split up and you can't even find people anymore. And then it sets this pattern. You get people that go from one church to another, to another, to another, to another, to another, because they're still in strife with the first church. And everywhere they go, their pride rises up. Now remember this, if you're looking for a perfect church, the first time you set foot inside the door of that church, it loses its reputation as being perfect. And me, if I step foot in it. There's no perfect church. There's no perfect people. There was one, and they crucified him. So what do you think they're going to do with you? But we've got to make a decision. I'm not going to be offended. I'm going to stay out of strife at all costs. Whatever it costs, I'm going to stay out of it. I'm not going to strive with you. I'm not going to get in contention with you because I don't have to protect myself. God is my real reward. God takes care of me and I don't have to protect myself. You know, strife leads to bitterness and all kinds of horrible things. and it will eat you up on the inside. All right? So just some brief things there concerning that subject. The servant of God must not strive. Amen. Let's all stand up, if you would, please. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Father, we don't necessarily shout and run over these things, but it does help us, Lord. Your word is always bringing us. It brings us correction. It brings us reproof. It teaches us the ways of righteousness. So, Father, we thank you. Father, we thank you. You are, yes, Lord, we thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and all the glory for it in Jesus' name. Now, I didn't preach this tonight because I'm in strife with anybody or I know about any strife going on at Rhema Bible Church. This is just what the Lord laid on my heart. Actually, laid it on my heart the last time I was set to preach, and then God moved in a different way that night, and so I didn't preach it, but he said this is for tonight. So that's why we brought this out. Amen? Do you love the Word of God? You love God? Hallelujah. I want to ask our connections team to find our first-time guest, if you would. Let's give our first-time guest another big hand clap. Thank you for coming. You want to be here when Pastor and Mrs. Hagen are here and hear our wonderful pastors bring forth the Word of God. Amen. Anything else that we need to cover? All right, if you need prayer tonight, ladies, come on down and pray with the ladies. Men, come on down, pray with the men, and you can be dismissed. God bless you.